Just want to welcome those that are joining us online in first service. For the next 4 weeks, we will be live. And that reminds me, Pastor Pierre, we probably need to get that on our webpage because it'll be live at 10 o'clock, not 9 or 9:30. We usually go live at the message time here. But this morning, I'm back into the gifts of Christmas, and this morning we're going to be talking about gift of forgiveness. Last week, Pastor Bob started us off this December with the series that we are calling, I'm calling it the Gifts of Christmas. And I know that gifts are going to be given and received in a couple of weeks on Christmas Day. How many open gifts though on Christmas Eve? Anybody? Christmas Eve? Like what? Well, that's what we do. Not every Christmas Eve, but every once in a while when I was a kid, Mom and Dad would let us open one small gift from underneath the tree, and that made it always kind of really special as you got ready. How many wait to open everything on Christmas morning? How many wait till Christmas afternoon? How many wait to just buy all your gifts after Christmas? Yeah, that would move into wisdom, you know. Well, in this series, I just really want you to know giving comes from the heart of God. You need to know that. At the coming of Jesus Christ, there were special gifts that were given. Of course, we think many times when we think of gifts in Christmas, we think of the Magi, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there were some gifts that were given to all mankind. Last week, Pastor Bob spoke about the gift of significance. Let me tell you, every one of you are significant to God. And that makes your life significant while you're here on earth. The enemy does not want you to know the magnitude and the importance of your life. And so therefore, you need to know that you are important and meaningful and essential to what God wants to do in this world. Peter, the disciple, writes this to the church. You have to remember, Peter's the one who denied knowing Jesus. But he comes back to Jesus, and he comes back in faith, and he finds grace. And as an apostle, he writes this to the church. And he does so with the understanding of his own significance as well as yours. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." And he gives a reason that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So knowing confidence, you are significance. Let me put it this way. The gift of significance, we are seen and loved by God. We matter to God. Now, there are more gifts that came because of Jesus Christ and his coming, and I don't have time to cover all of these in a series, but let me give you a couple of other thoughts. One would be the gift of insight. We no longer have to wonder who God is or what God is like anymore because we got to see God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And what a precious gift we have in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In fact, you may hear the water over here running because we have 8 baptisms in second service today. And we will baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then there's the gift of peace. We have peace with God. We have peace in trials because we trust him. We have peace in life because we've entered his rest. And now we see life differently than the rest of the world. We can be at peace. I'm so glad God gave us peace. And next week on our Christmas blessing week, and you already heard it, 10 o'clock, I'll wrap up this series with the gift of a future. Because of Jesus coming and dying and rising again, we know that this life is not all there is. John 3:16, very familiar with you. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have eternal life. We're going to talk about that next week. Today, though, I want to look at another magnificent and what I think is a staggering gift of God. And that's the gift of forgiveness. Everybody say that. The gift of, say it one more time, the gift of forgiveness. When Jesus came to earth, he came to address our sin, our guilt, our brokenness. Church, every one of us needs forgiveness. The problem with all the gifts that God came to give to his children, the problem is this: most of them you cannot understand, not until you know you're forgiven. You can go, wow, those are wonderful promises, but they're not for me. I'm not worthy. You don't know your significance until you're forgiven. And that's because each of us need that forgiveness from God. Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul writes some words that say this in Romans 3:23. He says, for everyone has sinned. Amen. That's one of those ones that we don't get real excited about because we begin to recognize our condition. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Solomon declares this, the wisest man biblically that we know ever lived. Ecclesiastes 7:20 writes, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. And Paul again bluntly just throws it out there in Galatians 3:22, but the scriptures declare, how many believe scripture is true? We are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise from freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Paul basically is saying we've not only done things that require forgiveness, but the problem is this: we're addicted to sin. We're a slave to sin. We are imprisoned by sin. And sin itself shows itself most clearly when we get angry or frustrated, or we're not getting our own way, or it could be just wanting to do my own thing. Sin happens when God's word commands us to do something we don't want to do and we just don't do it. And we become trapped by sin. And there's no way by our own efforts that we could ever get back to being holy in God's sight, at least not on our own. How many of you do you really understand that you're a sinner? See, most of you are sitting here, I'm a saint today. I would say your mind has not been completely sanctified. We've got to understand the trap, and it's there. Let me tell you how sin happens. It happens when we miss the mark of doing what we've been called to do. It happens when someone is being talked about in a negative way, and you join in. It happens when you mock a person that might be different than you are. Or when you damage somebody's property and you realize nobody's looking, so I'm just going to walk away. I did that as a teenager. I hit somebody's car. Nobody saw it. I drove away. And I carry that memory to this day. And I hate it. Sin happens when you lie, when you should have told the truth. It happens when you're selfish rather than generous, or you respond aggressively when you should have responded with love. I could go on, and so could you probably. You could probably come up with things I could never think of. All of us know this. We know, though, we also try to work hard to excuse our sin. Well, there's a reason. They provoked me. The reasons we come up with. At the least, this is what we tend to do. We try to bury our sin deep enough in our memory banks so we just don't remember it. And I'm sure that many of us have probably forgotten much of what we have done wrong in the past. But what we do remember, haunts us. It troubles our thinking. Does anybody live there? I mean, and I'm being honest with you today because I think the church, sometimes we've gotten holier than what we think we are. I'm telling you, the church is plagued because it doesn't understand the gift of forgiveness. When Jesus came to earth, he came to make it possible for us to be forgiven. He provided a way for our sin to be forgiven so we could be free from that guilt of those thoughts that hold people in bondage. I want you to know this. Jesus Christ makes forgiveness possible. So let me take you to the Christmas story. Matthew 1, 19 through 21 says this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her. Now this is talking of Mary, who is carrying Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Says he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, at this point, I just want you to, I'm just going to be as candid as I think I can with you. Joseph is thinking, Mary messed up. My bride has somehow gotten caught up in sin, and now she's pregnant. But in Joseph's heart, he wanted to be kind to her, and he didn't want to make it so public, but he was going to divorce her privately. While thinking of all this, Joseph has a rest, and in that rest, he has a dream. And the angel tells him in this dream of how Mary conceived. It says, it was by the Spirit of God, not mankind, Joseph. And then Joseph said, told to take Mary to be your wife. And when you do, when the baby is born, I want you to name the baby Jesus. But here's the most important part. There is a reason that Jesus was conceived in Mary. By the Spirit of God. There was a reason Jesus came. There's a reason that really perplexes our thinking. And it's told to Joseph in this dream when the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. This thought, understand, resonates with Joseph. Actually, it lines up with the kind heart of Joseph. He didn't want to expose Mary when he thought she had possibly sinned against him and their engagement. But in that dream, he finds out she didn't sin against me or the engagement. But for those who did sin and have sinned, which is everybody, Jesus, the baby who is coming, is going to save people from their sin. Do you remember the stories of Jesus and who he encountered? In Luke 5, some men brought Jesus, a man who was crippled. They lowered him down through a roof. They tore the roof off to get him to Jesus. And then it's Jesus who says to the man in Luke 5, 20, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Over in Luke 7, we read about a woman described as an immoral woman. She came in with a very special container of perfume. It says in Luke 7, 38, as she stood behind him, speaking of Jesus, as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And this is what happened in the next verse. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And then Jesus proceeds to tell them a story about forgiveness. After the story, in verse 48, we are told that Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Time and time again, this is what Jesus came to do. And then, of course, Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he says this in Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Of course, anybody could have said those statements regarding forgiveness, but there's two simple reasons that it's a difference when Jesus said them. Number one is Jesus paid the price. Jesus gave his life as a payment for our sin. That was the purpose of his coming. That's why he lived a sinless life. And because he was sinless, he could offer his life as a payment. In fact, this was the very thing that the entire Jewish sacrificial system had been pointing to year after year after year, was a sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. And Jesus became the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. A second reason that Jesus can extend forgiveness is because Jesus was God. Jesus is the only one who could declare us forgiven because ultimately he was the one that was slighted by our sin. And because God said, I'm going to rescue him, he came to forgive us. That's why Joseph was told he will save his people from their sin. I'm telling you that when Jesus gave his life, he finished what he came to do. In fact, three words from Jesus on the cross, which really in the Greek is just one word. But these words probably ought to become our most favored words of Jesus. In John 19:30, when he says, it is finished. Church sin was dealt with once and for all. Jesus didn't say, it has begun. It's almost there. He said, Teleo. It is finished. There's a song I want you to listen to this morning from 2019. From a group called Passion. And I want you to not get lost in the musical part of it, but really listen, and the words will be on the screen for you, but really pay attention, because Jesus told us it's finished.
Forsaken, so His grace is my salvation, the gift of God, the work of Calvary. It is done, it is finished. Christ has won, he is risen. Christ is here, love is triumphed. His mercy is complete. His love is not in question. The Son of God has spoken over me. It is done. It is finished. Christ has won.
Finished. I don't know if we really have captured mercy won. Paul says it this way in Colossians 2:14. He canceled the record of the charges against us. He canceled. He canceled. Take heart of what he has done. The record of charges that against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. Pastor James, would you go ahead and come? Church, we have received an astounding gift. It is finished. All of our foolish, sinful, hurtful, rebellious choices, our actions that have been against God, they are forgiven when we make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. We're forgiven when we simply don't see Jesus as a baby in a manger, but as the King of Kings. He is the Savior. He's the Lord. He did what we could not do. And there's nothing better you could do to celebrate Christmas this year than to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and King. It simply requires, number one, admitting your sinful condition and your helplessness to save yourself. This is where most people get stuck because they feel like I'm good enough. I'm not a bad person. All have sinned. All have fallen short. All need the forgiveness of God. Secondly, we confess Jesus. Confessing Jesus as your only hope for forgiveness and new life. He is the only one who has paid the price. Religion is religion. God came to have a relationship with His people. God wants a relationship with you, not just now, but forever. And number three is embracing Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and then surrendering your life to His love and mercy. If you've never done this, I invite you to do so today. But I have one more thing I want to speak about to the church. If we really understand the magnitude of what He's done for us, then we are to forgive each other. Our hearts now should want to extend forgiveness to others. Forgiveness is saying, it is finished. Forgiveness is when you choose to move forward instead of constantly recalling the past. In fact, this is what God asked us to do. He said, I want you to extend the same mercy to others that I extended to you. Now understand this. Forgiveness does not make the other person right. It just sets you free. And of all the Christmas gifts you could give this Christmas, forgiveness could be the most precious gift because it is the best gift you could ever give. Ephesians 4:32, there's a command to us. It says, be kind. We tend to want to do that at Christmas, and kindness, we give gifts. And compassionate to one another. We tend to look around and see needs, and it's like, I feel that I ought to help. But then this one, forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. It's not really an option today. Because He says, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You don't have to stay imprisoned in your sin today because Jesus paid the debt for it. You can be forgiven if you'll only turn to Him. And then you can be free from all your bitterness and resentment if you'd only learn how to forgive. And if you can learn how to say yourself, it is finished. It wasn't what I did, it was what He did. Church, it's really the Christmas gift that everyone wants, but Amazon can't provide it. Won't find it there. You won't find it on a store shelf anywhere. But you can find it in your heart. It's why Jesus came. Joseph, this earthly father of Jesus, got it. And so Joseph obeys what the angel said. You have to understand, it was really challenging because your first son that really should be yours should be named after you. but he was named properly by the Father, Savior, Jesus. Of course, Jesus grows up and he humbles himself, and the Bible says he became obedient even to death on a cross. And he did it all for you and for me, so we could have the gift of forgiveness. A gift to receive and a gift to give. To me, it really is the best gift of Christmas. Everything hinges on forgiveness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's where we all start. This morning, we sang a song, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?" Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. If you're online this morning, right where you are, to say, and first of all, recognize and admit, you know what? My life has messed up time and time again, and I'm a sinner. It starts with admitting that and saying, I really need to be forgiven. And then saying, go on, I confess my sins, and then accept Jesus to be Lord of your life. And today, you don't have to walk in guilt and shame of anything you've ever done wrong, because Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So it doesn't separate us from God anymore, but it pulls us close to him. Why? Because as he said, if you draw near to me, he draws near. And by saying, I'm wrong and I need you to forgive me, pulls us really close to God. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to just pray this prayer with me. And just pray it out loud, all of us together. And maybe some is just rededicating and resetting the standard of what should be. First of all, for you. So we just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Today, by faith, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and that you are the Savior. Would you forgive me of all my sin? Be Lord of my life this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that's where we start. I would encourage you not only receive the gift, but give the gift. In fact, this morning, if you take your communion, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is writing to this church. I don't know if you've ever really walked through Corinthians, but the first 10 chapters, this church is a mess. Can you believe God would let us know that the church is not perfect? But that's what he tells us. But Paul is bringing some correction to them, because you can't live one way and or certain ways that are sinful and really say that Christ is your Lord. He gets to remembering what Jesus did in this 11th chapter. Before he's about to break into all the gifts of the Spirit and all the love of God and what it all means, but he starts with going back to the cross. In fact, I'm not going to read it this morning, but he talks about, I'm going to read the part about communion, but he jumps down and he says, listen, if you haven't settled every issue with everybody, he said, you really need to go and do that. You really need to make it right, because you've been forgiven, you need to forgive. make it right. And this is why he said that. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is with that I hold this bread this morning, because Jesus came to die for your sin. And he gave his body, his sinless life, to make you look right before God. Because the Bible says now we are hid in Christ. He is our covering. And so when God looks at you because of your faith and the Holy Spirit is in you, God sees you as holy. It's not because of anything you've done. And most of you, I hope, would know and agree with that now. But he said, "This is my body," and he said, "It's broken. Broken for you." Once again, Lord, you said, "Do this in remembrance of you," and I hold a piece of bread. Thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for being perfect and being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, Lord, I now surrender and make you Lord of my life as I remember what you did for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you receive the bread? Paul continues, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. And I want you to do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And he says, "Whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." So, Lord, so church, we have set aside once a month to do this in remembrance. It's one of those fine lines between doing it every week and it becoming too much of a ritual and not doing it often enough that we don't remember what he did. But I'm going to keep remembering his blood was shed for me. And therefore, listen to very carefully, a new covenant. A covenant with us. For those who have said, "I recognize I need you. I'm remembering what you did. I'll remember your death." I only have to do so until he comes. Because when he comes, you no longer will be here. You'll be with him. Amen? So, Father, today I hold this cup in remembrance of you. And I'm going to receive it as a new covenant, remembering that I am forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. And Lord, you gave us a reminder. So Lord, we receive this today in faith and in thanksgiving for the new covenant that we are in relationship with each other and will be forever because we are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Would you just simply, can we sing those, that "Nothing But the Blood," maybe that first stanza one more time with the question.
And what can wash away my sin?
Nothing.
It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
And what can make me whole
complete
again?
It is
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
name given under heaven by which man may be saved. There's no one other who paid the price. Church, if you've asked him to forgive you, he has. You do not have to carry the guilt or the shame. It's why he came. And I just want to wake the church up. And don't worry about others who go, well, when they go, well, you're going to church, but I watch what you do in your life. Be honest about it. Say, you know what? I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm getting to know him more. Thank you for pointing that out in my life. Otherwise, you begin to excuse it. Well, no, there is no well. It's like, Lord, I remember your death. And I remember I've got life in you, and I'm going to change. Because there's this new covenant I'm going to live under. It's grace, but not grace so that sin may abound. So church, receive the gift. But church, give the gift. Give it. Our Father which art in heaven, he prayed. And then he said, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's how you live. Not just receiving, but giving. How many of you like Christmas just to be about giving? Wouldn't quite be the same without receiving. But you love to receive. You ought to love to give. Give it freely. Hold nothing. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you from the very onset of your coming. We learned why you came. We didn't have to figure it out. Though many of us are still maybe struggling, Lord, would you help them to know that you cast their sin as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against them no more. Free us today. And Lord, we receive that gift of forgiveness, and Lord, we offer it freely. Help us live and walk that out, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Next week, one service, 10 o'clock, and we'll be looking for you. Have a Jesus-filled week in the Lord. God bless.